Welcome to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am your host, Mia Moran. Moms have the power to change the future, one meal at a time. The Plan Simple Meals podcast is for busy moms who want to create a healthier, happier home. Listen in for informative conversations and valuable strategies to make meals healthy, meaningful, and fun. Let's do this. Hello, busy mamas. Welcome to this episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am so excited for the guests we have today, who I was honestly surprised said yes, and you are in for a treat. So today I have Joe Cross. And Joe Cross is a filmmaker, entrepreneur, author, and wellness advocate. He directed and produced, and actually was the subject of, the award-winning documentary Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead, seen by more than 21 million people around the world. And he also made the popular sequel, Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead 2. He's authored the New York Times bestseller, The Reboot with Joe Juice Diet book, which has been released globally in multiple languages and is credited with having accelerated the plant-based eating movement by media outlets, including The Wall Street Journal, The Times of London, and The Dr. Oz Show. His website, rebootwithjoe.com, has become an integral meeting place for a community of more than 1.5 million rebooters worldwide. And most recently, he has come out with an amazing new movie called The Kids Menu, and that was really what got my attention and why I asked him to be here today. So welcome, Joe.
Hi, Mia. It's great to be on the show. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here for us. So tell us a little bit about your journey. Have you always been super healthy?
Oh, no way. No, I was not. I was probably the average, Mia. I was I was on medication. I was very overweight. High cholesterol, high blood pressure. I was, you know, suffering from a chronic illness, taking meds for 8 years. And this all happened before I turned 40. And this was something that I was pretty average when you think about it, because that's what the average is, unfortunately. Yeah. So I had this aha moment on my 40th birthday that I realized that I needed to make some changes, and pretty drastic ones. I've been focused on wealth and not health. And the reality is your health really is your true wealth.
Yep.
And I'd been sort of just building businesses and focused on money. And I decided that I needed to make some changes in my life. And I did some pretty drastic changes. I was on this medication called prednisone, which is a powerful steroid for a debilitating autoimmune disease called chronic urticaria angioedema, which is a really fancy way of saying chronic hives. But my hives were so serious that they would really swell up my whole body, and it would leak into my joints. And, you know, I looked like Elephant Man many, many times. And it was it was a very, very serious illness brought on by pressure, believe it or not, and talking physical pressure. So I wasn't able to hold groceries, hold baby, difficult to have sex, difficult to sit in an airplane seat, use a belt. Going to the beach and walking on the beach with barefoot was just impossible. So it was a real issue, and it was very, very, very depressing. And I didn't get depressed, but it was just depressing on my life to be reminded every morning and every day, no matter how good my day was, that I was chronically sick. So I heard that when the time came and I was ready to listen, because obviously people were trying to get me to do stuff, but it's got to come from within.
Yeah.
I heard that 70% of all disease is caused by lifestyle choices. That is, whether we smoke or not, what we drink and eat, or how much exercise we do or don't do, and the next three level down are your ability to manage stress, how you deal with your sleep, and your connectivity to community and friends. And, you know, I really was failing in most of those. And so I decided that I needed to do a complete reboot, and that's where the name came from. I needed to reboot my whole system. And the thing you can't change everything overnight, but the one thing that I thought that I could change and do was the fact that I turned my back on Mother Nature. You know, Mother Nature provides all these incredible nutrients in her plants, you know, the fruits, vegetables, nuts, beans, seeds, whole grains. And I really, you know, when I was 20 years of age, I probably said goodbye to Mother Nature. And I left her, you know, out in the cold for 20 years. And of course, it didn't take long for me to break, right? I broke at 32. And then I kept being broken and trying to manage myself with medications, and that wasn't working. And so I really was at a crisis point by the time I decided to do something about this. And I went back to Mother Nature and I said to her, you know, in this personal conversation, you know, maybe I'm the lucky one and that I am in the 70% category. Maybe I have brought this illness on myself. I don't know if I do or not. You know, I could be just in the unlucky category where it's genetic or wrong place, wrong time. But I decided to put myself into like a program of just fruits, vegetables, nuts, beans and seeds for 2 years. You know, I figured 20 years I'd turn my back on it, so why don't I do 2 years solid commitment? And to supercharge my start, Mia, I decided to drink juice from plants for 60 days and then I was going to eat the food for 22 months. But guess what? I only needed to do 5 months, 60 days of juice, 3 months of eating plants, and I was off all medication, 100 pounds lighter. I decided to film all of this, and that's my first feature-length documentary film called Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead.
And it's an amazing film, so if there's anyone who hasn't watched it, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, so then on the back of that and all the touring I've been doing, many, many places I go, Mia, I'm sure you get this a lot, is like, Joe, what about the kids? What can we do about the kids? And I kept getting these questions. So after we did our second movie, which is a follow-up to our first, of really going a deep dive on what's happened to me and others from the movie, we decided our third film should be about kids, and that's where we went. So we decided to focus not so much on the problem of childhood obesity, but more about what is being done around the world, or we tried to go around the world, but our budget enabled us only to go for the USA, but what's been done in the USA to at a grassroots level to tackle this problem.
Very cool. And so tell us some of your findings. What did you find as you started talking?
Well, we found that there's really three big hurdles that kids face. And by default, that means parents as well. But let's just look at it from a kid's perspective.
Okay.
Three big hurdles. Hurdle number one, and there's not in any order, they're all equally as important, but we identified the fact that access is a big problem for lots of kids. The access to plant food, to healthy options, you know, the access to it. And that can mean food deserts. That can mean because you're in a school and that's all the food they serve is processed. So access was a big point. Number two was the knowledge and education side of not only what to eat, but how to prepare it, how to cook it, and how to make it fun and interesting and exciting and tasty.
Yep.
So that was number two. And number three was the lack of positive role models that are in society today. When it comes to this, there's so many celebrities, sports stars that are promoting products that are effectively full of sugar, very high in fat, you know, lots of processed, refined flour or junk, effectively. And also these kids also have difficulty with positive role models many times with their own parents and friends. So they're the three areas that we decided to see what we could see, what was going on in respect to all of that. So out we went and, you know, we met some wonderful people and organizations. On our movie, thekidsmenumovie.com, www.thekidsmenumovie.com, we have a link to all the resources of all the organizations that featured in the movie. Because we're hoping that people will watch this movie and then they'll go and reach out to some of these organizations and either try and get them into their school, into their community, into their home. And, you know, a lot of the things that we found were pretty much, you know, involved the kids being integral in the preparation, the nurturing, the planting, the choosing. It doesn't have to be the whole spectrum of, you know, putting the seed in the ground. It can be as good as going to the farmer's market and helping pick out the food with mum or dad.
Yep.
And being involved and having that ownership of what was going on, being part of the process of preparing the smoothie, the juice, the meal, the salad, whatever it is. That was key. We found that was key. In also telling people what to do doesn't work. You know, we all know that. Yeah. So we've got to be careful as parents and as responsible people in society to not necessarily push the whole health thing and say, oh, this is healthy, you've got to have this, you know. That tends to not necessarily work. Just putting the ownership back onto kids. Dr. Brian Wansing talked about a study that he did where when you put down, say, a salad and a burger in front of a kid and say, now, which one would Batman eat? and taking it out of the perspective of themselves so that a superhero or someone that they look up to and asking them, what would Batman eat? That increased the choice of the salad dramatically. I don't know, I can't remember exactly the number, but it went from like 5 or 10% choice to over 50% choice of kids that did that. So, and that wasn't mum and dad telling them what to do. That was asking a question that initiated the drive of the choice coming from within.
So interesting.
So these are things that are helpful. I mean, during the movie, we've packed a lot of information and a lot of helpful hints. I mean, I think what's going to have to happen, to be honest, is people are going to need to watch it 2 or 3 times to get the whole value out of it. Just simply taking the size of your bowls that you serve your kids. If they're going to have cereal because they want to have cereal, well, it's the size of the bowl, and maybe you take the cereal outside of the packet and you put it into a plastic container, and it actually ends up looking like dog food.
Yes.
And what you're doing is it's still in the house, but you're not advertising it to yourself, and it doesn't look as attractive. And yep. So these sorts of tips are very, very, very helpful.
I also feel like it makes everything equal, because that's something we do in our group is we tell everybody, you know, we all practice taking everything out of containers, because even the healthy stuff, so that you're really, you know, we tell everyone to put stuff in glass mason jars, and yeah. Then the nuts look the same as the granola, which look, you know, so it's really all, it's food, and you're making good choices about it. And in that case, many times an apple looks better than anything, because it's red and shiny.
Absolutely.
And exciting.
Absolutely, yeah. And so, you know, we also discovered incredible organizations that send, like Food Corps, who send out Corps members to schools to teach them about cooking and teach them about how to make a smoothie, teach them about growing. Mm-hmm. And you know, gardens are a huge hit, obviously. And you know, it was just a really, really, really eye-opening 18 months that it took us to put this movie together. And, you know, now we're very excited that people can go to iTunes today and rent the movie or buy the movie today. And it's very exciting. And it'll be on Netflix later in the year. And the real opportunity for this film, Mia, is that there's so many people that are passionate about changing things in their community, in their school, but they're often met with a lot of headwinds. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I have found that a lot of that can be put back on their approach and the way that they use and the words that they use, and they can put you know, I'm sure you've seen it in your life that you see some mums and dads and you know, wellness experts that are really passionate about this, but their delivery of the way they speak is a little bit too preachy.
Yeah.
And what that does is that just immediately the tone puts other people off. And so what we wanted to do is to have a film that is disarming, that is non-judgmental, that is not preachy, that these passionate people who are wonderful people with a great message, that they can then say, look, how about we have a screening of this movie in the school, and then we have a conversation about the pros and cons of what we can take from this to do in our school. And all of a sudden, it's a lot more inclusive of people. So we really hope it becomes a conversation starter.
Great. I love that. So, and I always give a challenge at the end of these. So that's going to be the challenge. Everyone has to go watch it this week.
Well, we love that.
Can we go back a little bit to the idea of role models? And you talked a little bit about sort of media role models, but one of the reasons that I do what I do is because I was surprised, pleasantly surprised, because at the beginning of my journey, which was about 8 years ago, which also actually started with juice and losing around 80 pounds, I thought I was being selfish in doing all this for myself. And about 6 months in, I looked up and I realized that I had three little kids at the time, and I realized that they were mimicking me, that my little girl who was two or three at the time was loving juice and would drink my juice with me in the morning. And I realized that they wanted everything I had, and that
absolutely,
I didn't,
yeah.
And I wasn't having to preach about it, right? Like I wasn't at wit's end in any way. And so that was my first clue that me being as healthy as I can be was just the first step to making my big impact just within my own household.
I say it a lot, Mia. Best way to change the world is to change yourself.
Yeah. And I think that's so empowering, and we forget it sometimes. And sometimes it's hard at the dinner table when we've made this dinner and, like, you know, the kids aren't eating the broccoli or whatever, but just, I really feel like that perseverance of you eating it happily, or, you know, whatever vegetables you love happily, is such a great lesson for kids.
Absolutely. And if you, you know, we live in a world now that is set up for us to fail. Yep. When it comes to our wellness, you know, it really is a very tough place to survive. The feast on every corner, the compact calories, the sugar, the fat, the salt combinations that hit our bliss points, the constant, you know, social creatures that we are, where there's always something to consume around every time we get together.
Yeah.
So, you know, and escalators and elevators and cars take away that energy we would normally expend. And so, you know, I think that you've got to be very mindful that we do live in that kind of a existence.
Yep.
But at the same time, we have to work out ways that it's not a health lesson at home every day, and that it is just second nature. And that's the challenge. And, you know, by the sounds of it, you've done a great job there. But it wouldn't work if you were eating pizza and you were having burgers and you were drinking soda and telling the kids to eat broccoli.
Yeah.
It ain't going to work.
Yeah. Well, and I find the truth is the same. You know, it's the same. You know, I'm human, so it's not like I never crave those things. But it's the same is true when you're not even doing it in front of them. You know, they just pick up on it. And the biggest lesson I think of all is that this is a journey. It's like a healthy journey, right? If it takes us. It took us a long while to get this sick, and it's going to take us a minute to get out of it.
Yeah.
But we're wired to eat this healthy way. We just somehow got off track. And so always remembering that.
Yeah, I think 100% agree. I think that you've got a bit of you said before about, you know, you're human. I am a big fan of chocolate ice cream. My favorite thing. If you said to me, Joe, you can never have chocolate ice cream again, I'd be very sad. You know,
yeah.
I'd be sad every day. I don't have chocolate ice cream that often,
yeah.
But I'm not sad every day. I'm very happy.
Yeah.
And when I have it, I'm even happier.
Yeah.
But because I don't have it every day and I have it on special occasions, I don't have any guilt with it. I enjoy it. I think it's fabulous. I think it's one of the greatest things ever. So I'm very much of the view that we, too many of us, put foods into this category of good for you and bad for you. And I think that's a huge mistake.
Yep.
I don't know any food that is bad for you, okay, in the sense that any food is good for you. There is food that is essential to you to have, and there is foods that are fun foods. That's how I look at it. I don't look at it as good and bad. Now, I think what's happened is too many people are having too much fun, and as you and I both know, when you do things that are fun all the time, they cease to become fun.
Right.
And there's a lot of pain and a lot of suffering going on. And so for me, I think the conversation of good and bad only causes us to create a lot of guilt Because if we frame Oreos and frame chocolate ice cream and frame, you know, white bread or whatever as bad, when we have it, we're going, oh, we're eating something bad. I'm having something bad, but I'm having it. It tastes so good, or it's bad for me. All of a sudden, you feel so guilty that you clean out the rest of the Oreos because you're a bad person. And so, and this guilt plays a huge role in many people's eating habits.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of just getting rid of the guilt and accepting that food can be fun and awesome and interesting, but in order to have that and keep it as a way that it stays that way, we just need to work out ways that we can get a lot of our essential produce into our body so that the majority of what we're eating in terms of calories is coming from plant food. And if we can do that, we're going to go a long, long, long way to stemming the epidemic of disease that's in the world today, in the US, Australia, UK, etc.
Yeah, I totally agree and love that. And it's interesting. Well, and it's amazing that you've grown your reboot communities to such a high volume, because I actually do think that one of the reasons that you and I can have this conversation like this is because we had that experience of what it was like to be so clean for an amount of time.
Yeah.
And so now, like, I don't feel like I would have had the sense to know how that I could enjoy that chocolate ice cream and then to stop before I went through that process of understanding what it was. I don't think I was feeling what I was eating at the same level before I went on this whole, you know, juice and plant-based tangent of mine. Whereas now I think I could, I do enjoy things very much, and can stop in a way that I don't think I could have before that whole experience. Because I was just so high on processed food.
Yeah, there are certainly things for me, like I mentioned chocolate ice cream, that I can control and manage. But there are other things, Mia, that I haven't ever had in 9 years because I'm just worried. For example, Coca-Cola used to be one of my favorite things. Mm. So I just have not had soda like that. The only soda I've ever had is a ginger ale, and I have that, the Canada Dry ginger ale, and I have that on special occasions, you know, after a game of golf or doing something like that. I don't drink alcohol, so that's kind of my treat drink.
Yeah.
But Coca-Cola is something that I just won't ever – I mean, I can't say it never because you never know, but – I haven't been game enough to have a Coke because I'm worried that I'll like it so much that it'll slowly start to sneak its way in to my fun exception time.
Yep.
Whereas chocolate ice cream, you know, I can have my two or three scoops on my special occasion, like once every 2 weeks, and it's fine.
Yep.
Like I can sit here and talk about chocolate ice cream now and I don't need to go to the fridge and have some. Whereas if I sit here and talk about Coca-Cola and Coca-Cola's in the fridge, I'm like a robot. I'm like heading that direction. So there are certain things I've identified, and I think we all need to be honest with ourselves. There are some things that just can be what I call no-go zones.
Yeah, totally agree. Well, and also finding all those things that there's so many great things that I think I know I still don't know about, but I certainly didn't know about 7 years ago. You just shared before we went live the smoothie you were drinking. So the idea that you can have these amazing chocolate drinks that don't have sugar and don't have dairy and don't have like things that are bad for you. I mean, I have to admit,
well, they have natural sugar. They have natural sugar because I put banana in and so on. And that's another thing that I think we've got to be very careful about is that right now sugar has the crosshairs on it. It was fat before. I think we've got to be careful not to be too obsessive one way or the other.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen to people like you, watch lots of movies and people to really gain their own sort of inner balance and inner compass, if you like, when it comes to choices. Because there's one thing I've learned is that it's not one glove fits all, Mia. It's very much for what can work for someone doesn't necessarily work for somebody else, you know. Almond milk might be great for person A, but person B, that doesn't agree with them. So we need to be careful to make sure that everyone understands that at the end of the day, the only thing I'm really confident about is that we all need to try and work out ways to get more plant food into our life.
Totally. Totally agree.
Less processed, less animal, not saying none, but more plants. And that's the only thing that I can really agree on that I would say across the board works.
So, and do you have any, from all this, going into all these schools and meeting all these children, so what happens, we've talked a lot about the person who hasn't experienced health at home yet, but what about for those listening who, you know, are on a track and they're doing the work and making their home as healthy as they know how to today. But then they go out into the world and, you know, every little league game you go to has Gatorade and donuts. And then you go to school and, you know, the kids are having things. So what did you find with that as you were making the movie? So people who are coming into, you know, kids who are coming into a space where other kids aren't necessarily eating how they want.
Yeah. So I know this can be very stressful for many parents. And I think what I saw is that when the healthy habits were formed from a very young age at home, and then confidence and trust was given in the children, the kids were, because they were making their own choice and they weren't being told what to do, and they weren't being given, you know, don't go over there, and you know, it's the old story, like, don't touch the rose bush. You know, you tell a kid that, what are they going to do?
Touch the rose bush.
Going to go over and touch the rose. If you hadn't said anything, they'd probably go nowhere near it. It's similar with food. So it takes a great amount of self-discipline as a parent to just have the trust that what's going on at home, that they can do that when they leave the nest. And so that's now, you know, I talk about this in my speeches when I give after this movie, that we are not responsible for our children. We are responsible to our children.
And
we can't do the control thing, because the control thing will just make things a lot worse. So it's one of those things that the more we can change ourselves, the more we can change the environment around us, the less those incidences will occur, right?
Yep. I love that. That's very true. And did you find, what other big findings did you find in the schools? Like, what were sort of the major?
Well, the schools are hungry for change. You know, we have a big situation with money and the school lunches. So there's big dollars that are in that. But if you can get the teachers, the parents, the students and the administrators all on the same page, change can happen. So, first of all, the first thing to do is to get everybody engaged and not to preach, like to have a conversation. And that's where we are very excited, because we think this movie will be able to be that launch pad for that. Because, you know, media is incredibly powerful. Showing stories that are not offensive, where people don't feel threatened, where it's not political, that they can have huge impact on people. And so, you know, I was asked a question last night at our New York screening, and one of the questions was, you know, if you were Surgeon General tomorrow, what change would you make? And I'd never been asked that question before, and it was a really good question, and I had to think about it, but it took me about 20 seconds to gather my thoughts. And I think the reality is, what I would do is I would provide a whole lot of capital to young filmmakers that would make films on health and wellness subjects that are inspiring, educational, entertaining for the world. Because I actually think media is the way to combat this problem. I think media, to a certain degree, is the reason we're in the problem.
Yeah.
So you can fight fire with fire. I don't think taxes on sugar drinks, I don't think all of these sort of steps from the government are going to be a single-shot solution. They might help. I don't know. I think the taxing on sugary drinks is just going to hurt the poor.
Yep.
Because if you don't educate them and you don't explain why, and they don't know why, and they're not inspired why, they're still going to buy the Mountain Dew.
Yep.
So I don't know. I think that the media and the content is really the way forward here. That's obviously why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, I love that. And actually, that's funny because one of the things that I say that we have to do is be our best marketers. And we, you know, go through this. And marketers don't preach, you know. All these messages are so subliminal that our kids are getting.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like Coke is coming down and saying, drink Coke. They're giving these, you know, beautiful pictures and these reasons why we're drawn to it.
Absolutely.
And so we have sort of the same job as adults, as educators and parents and, you know, people influencing kids.
Absolutely. 100%. Couldn't agree more.
Love that. All right. So, Joe, this has been amazing. Thank you so much. Everyone who's listening, please go watch the movie. I have a feeling it's going to impact our world in a great way, and I'm super excited for that.
Yeah, we're really excited. We've also created a screener for schools. So if you go to kidsmenumovie.com, anyone who wants to bring the movie into their school, there's a whole package there and a way to do that.
Oh, great. That's good to know. So the one question that I ask everybody, and then I want to also make sure, I think everyone knows how to get a hold of you, but just in case, you're going to say that one more time at the end. But the question I ask everyone is, so food is something that has so much power, I think, in our lives, good and bad. And we carry those memories with us for so long. So what is one memory you have of a meal that impacted you in a positive way, either the food or the company or some major aha you had while sitting at the table?
I would say that there's probably two occasions. Okay. That was the last meal before I did my 60-day juice fast, and then the first meal that I had, the proper meal that I had at the end. Mm. The last meal I had was two hamburgers, chocolate shake, ice cream sundae, French fries, sushi, two beers. So you can see how bad that was, because I thought that I was going to be killing myself by not eating for 60 days. I thought I'd just load right up. Yep. And then, because I didn't know what I was doing back then. And then my first meal that I had, the proper meal that I had after 60 days of juice, which was an all plant-based meal with some chickpeas. It wasn't the first thing I ate. It was the first proper meal. It took me about 7 or 8 days of just eating some fruits and vegetables and steamed sweet potato before I got the system working again after 2 months of not eating.
Yep.
But I had some hummus. I had chickpeas. I had some beans. And I remember having cauliflower and all of these incredible things, and it was just so nice to have hot food and a whole complete meal. So, and it was really giving thanks to the journey I'd been on. So the last meal, when I was 330 pounds and laid up on drugs and sick, was memorable. And then the first one, full back after 100 pounds lighter and not on any medication, all in the space of 66 days.
Oh, I love that. That's a fabulous story. thank you. And so then will you just tell us all, so the best way to stay in touch with you and see what's happening?
Yeah, our website is rebootwithjoe.com. And we have, I'm on at Joe the Juicer on Instagram and Twitter, and Joe Cross on Facebook, a public page. And then the kids menu is the at the kids menu for Instagram. And then for the website, it's thekidsmenumovie.com.
Okay. And I will link all that up in the show notes, so you guys can also get them there. So thank you so much for your time today, Joe.
Thanks, Mia, and good luck to everyone out there listening. And I really hope you enjoy the movie. And if you do, I'd love for you to share it with as many people as you can and spread the word.
All right, busy mamas. Go off, watch the movie, and drink lots of juice this week. Bye-bye. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. If you like what you heard, the biggest compliment you can give us is to share Plan Simple Meals with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast at iTunes. I absolutely love sharing simple solutions to help busy families eat clean and live well. Visit healthymomsmeetup.com and come join in on the fun. In our free group, you can chat with me and other health-seeking moms, get new recipes and tips, and never be at a loss in the kitchen again. Come join the fun at healthymomsmeetup.com. I cannot wait to meet you there.